you bring, you know, but the child's already brought forth, the Son of God, Christ, but there's another child to be brought forth as well. And there's a remnant of her seed, which is about to be mentioned. At least this is the way I'm reading it, you know. I don't know that in every specific I have it exactly right. But I think in the critical points, I do. Or I'm trying as best as what God has given me. Maybe the Spirit has hidden some things from my eyes yet. I don't doubt that. But with what we have, we will do as best we can. So, to the woman are given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, at times, and half a time. 1, 2, and a half. 1,260 is like 3.5 years, a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So, you know, they cannot harm. The witnesses are basically immune. The devil does not make war against them till the very end. He casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. He might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And what is that? That's the persecution that comes after them. They will be pursued. I think of how Elijah was pursued. And I see a lot of correlation between these prophets and Elijah. You know, when they come for the prophets, they're going to say, you men of God, come with us. We're going to take you. Maybe they'll storm you. You know, wherever you happen to be staying, they'll storm with their stormtroopers and their... You know, these days they have such sophisticated intervention, and they're going to come in there with their military and their men in their black suits and their black guns and their black masks and all that, and try to take you. And then the word comes forth, fire, and devours them before they can put their fingers on the trigger. The flood is going to come after the woman to take her away. And the earth, I said the fire. I think of that as when people come after. Maybe the flood represents something else. But whatever, the flood, you know, I remember my old teacher used to say, a flood of lies, I suppose. Comes out of his mouth, doesn't it? Out of the mouth of the witnesses comes forth fire, and out of the mouth of the dragon comes forth water. To drown out their, what they say, to drown out their voices. You know, woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise as the noise of the sea, and the rushing of nations which make a rushing like the rushing of many waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off. So the earth helps the woman, and the earth opens her mouth and swallows up the flood, which the dragon casts out of his mouth. Well, what the dragon sends forth against the woman does not get to the woman, but it is swallowed up by the earth. What this symbolizes, I don't know, but it indicates he will come after this woman. You know, the woman, again, being metaphorical. And I see correlation here between the woman and the witnesses. And so the earth swallows up the flood which he had sent after her, and he becomes angry with the woman. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. What does it say in chapter 11, right? And when their testimony is finished, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. They love not their lives unto the death. So, you see, the woman and the seed of the woman, it's a complicated sort of metaphorical thing, because the woman and her seed are sort of one. Because what is the seed of man but something that comes out of him that is part of him? From father to son, son to grandson, so on and so forth. We impart the information that makes us who we are, one to another. And this woman is a metaphorical woman made up of many women and men. We are all part of her. She is heavenly Jerusalem, which descendeth down from God, the mother of us all. And by that I mean it is a city to which we all belong. all we who are the called of God, who are chosen according to his purposes. We belong, we have citizenship in this city which is in heaven, which cometh down from God. God has written our names in a book that says so. And so we are destined to inherit that. And so we ultimately are that woman. And we are also the children that she brings forth as individuals, as we become like the ultimate example, the Son of God, Christ, Jesus the Lord. They are the remnant of our seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I suppose I would be remiss if I didn't take a little aside here and talk a little bit about the commandments. I mean, I love when I get an opportunity. Some people think, well, that's the Ten Commandments, of course. We keep the Ten Commandments. But that's not Christianity. Christianity, we have different commandments. The commandments of God we have, we are following the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. The law of Moses has many commandments which we don't obey. And many Christians don't obey. I mean, some try to. They say, okay, we'll keep the Sabbaths. We'll try to do the Ten Commandments because those are the ones we have to keep. But there are many other commandments. As Paul says, you know, as many that are, if you want to keep the law, you're a debtor to do the whole thing. The commandments of God in Christ are the things we learn in the New Testament. Because I'll tell you what, the Ten Commandments are not enough. They are not sufficient for righteousness. You can keep the Ten Commandments and God will not be pleased with you. You still haven't done enough. It's not even half of what God asks of us in Christ. He's asked us to have pure minds. There's no commandment to purify your mind. Yes, it is in the spirit of the Ten Commandments. Yes. Oh, well, yes, it's in the spirit. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a spiritual implication. But again, if we follow the spirit, then what do we need the letter for? We don't do the letter. And also the Sabbath, that has a spiritual application. There are people out there who say you got to keep the Sabbath on. See, this means that the only redeemed people are going to be those who keep the Saturday Sabbath. And that's just not true. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Christ is Lord also of the Sabbath. The New Testament goes out of its way to basically let you know that the Sabbath is one of those things that's passed away in the Old Testament law as far as the letter of it. In the spirit, we still are.